basically just a short overview, mostly about the 2D versus 3D comparison I had on the webpage as well, but I heard most people didn't have time to look at that in detail, so I just wanted to show some results. First of all, I just want to step back to what I presented in Freiburg, so some people might remember. So we tried to compare 2D and 3D results before. Used a 1,000 ohm meter dike within a 100 ohm meter surrounding. We did the same structure for 3D. The idea was if we have this infinite dike in 2D, and we calculate the 3D response, and we increase the length of the dike, it slowly should approach our 2D responses. And that's basically the light we got there. So the red line is a 2D result, and we have a 10 kilometer length dike, 20, 50, 100. So it more or less approaches quite nicely. This was increasing the length of the dike. The problem we had there is only addressed our off diagonal elements. But we now have loads of problems figuring out the face of our right quadrants. So we were thinking about a second approach. So if you have real data and you want your model in 2D, we always try to rotate the data to minimize the diagonal elements. So we tried to do the opposite way. We calculated the 2D response and turn it into kind of 3D space and try to compare that now. So this is a 2D model. I got 25 sites up here. I now have 100 ohm meter half space. There's actually two dikes, so 1 ohm meter here, 10,000 ohm meter here. And if you just assume the dikes are orientated north-south, our profile would be east-west. And if you now go to the rotation of the 2D data, so we apply the rotation matrix here, and we get a rotated impedance like this. And if you have the 2D structure here, the north-south dike and the west-east profile, if you apply minus 45 degree rotation, you basically get dike structure in north-east, south-west, and a profile in north-west, south-east. And that would match a 3D model like this. So we have the dike in north-east, south-west, and the profile perpendicular to that. What I do now is I will show you results from these four sites. So basically, we have the 2D rotated in red, and then we have two of the 3D coats plotted on top. And yeah, I think it's quite good fit. And we got the faces in the right quadrants as well. This slight issue with swimming again, which I think is related to the mesh issue. I can't refine the mesh. For the next site, and this is something allows to get back to your diagonal elements. This one is in the decayed 10 to 100 ohm meters, so this is a large diagonal element, and I think this is one we really should take account. I mean, it's more or less the same decade than our off diagonals, and that's something that shouldn't be ignored. Yeah, faces for that one. And this one goes even up to 200 ohm meters in the diagonals. And the last one I just got out because this goes to the point that I had before. The faces basically work through all quadrants. You can really see it nicely here. So the Winling version we do have has problems with large mesh sizes. So I wouldn't be too worried about both ends, okay? Because I have to find something that matches short and long periods at the same time. So I personally would assume it would be related to mesh issues.
You charge a lot back.
Yeah.
just, you know, when you look at the faces, so all this is obviously a mess,
yeah.
So we can cut that off, we shouldn't,
right.
And clean it up. And I think that's, I mean...
But just back up to the camera, still be so good.
So this is basically all what's left here.
Yes.
I personally think this is 10 to the minus 1, 10 to the minus 2, and
yeah.
I'm not sure if you can't start believing stuff down here. Because from this is about, yeah, a little less than a second. And they look all okay from this part on. So yeah, this is basically the comparison for the 2D, 3D.
So I guess the only solutions we have in that rotated frame are those that you generated. You don't have.
I didn't hear from anybody else who showed that.
And this is a very simple thing to do. At one point, Marion, the other child's faces were out of quadrant. Now, how come they're back in?
Because there was an issue with the Senko engine.
So, us field people, when we're taking our EDI files and converting them to X, Y, X, X, putting them into their child's field, are we putting in the right thing?
If you know what coordinate system the Senko engine is used and you take care of that, you do. If you don't, obviously not. I mean, that's the problem with all the codes. Everybody's using their own little world, if you want to. So if you have real data, we always have to know what the code requires. And then we have to accommodate later for that. Or you get everybody else to write their code in the new coding system, which is common for everybody, but I think that's not doable.
Well, however people do it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, but the code should generate it. There should be a transformation at the end
yeah.
that transforms them into the system that